Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's been just being in this place. Amen. Sensing the presence of the Lord and being able to sing praises unto His name. What a blessing that's been. Now let's look into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 10. Revelation, chapter 10. Sunday nights we've been going through. We started out preaching one message on each book of the Bible. We started in the book of Genesis. We made our way all the way through the 66 books of the Bible. Gave an outline on each one of the books of the Bible. Some were tougher than others just to preach one message on, but we held true to that. And then, of course, as we've gotten into the book of Revelations, we've started breaking it down. We gave you the outline, then we started breaking it down and just teaching chapter by chapter. And the Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through eternity future. Everything that we have need to know about the past, God has written it down and preserved it for us. Everything we have need to know and possibly can know about the future, God has written it down and preserved it for us. And so it's the Bible that we look to understand where we came from and where we're going. Amen. And how to live as while we're here. It's the Word of God that we look to. And so the book of Revelation is broken down to three different parts. The breakdown is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. When the Lord tells John to write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, thou hast seen was chapter 1, things that are is the church age, chapters 2 and 3, and the things which shall be hereafter, after the rapture of the church, from chapter 4 all the way through the end of the book of Revelations, chapter 22. So we've been studying that. Revelations chapter 6 through chapter 19 reveals a 7-year tribulation period. This is a time of God's righteous judgment on earth. God's righteous judgment on this planet earth. And so we started out by seeing the seven seals. And the only one that could open these seals was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so we find that He is the one who is going to lead in judgment. And so the seven seal judgments, the seventh seal judgment led into the trumpet judgments. And there's seven trumpet judgments. Just a few things that I want to clarify as we're going through this study in the book of Revelation is God has a purpose for revealing everything that He has revealed. Everything that's in this book of the Bible, God has a purpose for us to know it. I was raised in a church, a Southern Baptist church, where the preacher was not a highly educated man, and he did not believe that we can know and understand the book of Revelation. And so he just never preached on it. I remember as a young person, I was thinking, well, then why is it there? And that's a good question, amen? If it's not to be understood, if we can't understand, then why did he preserve it for us? He preserved it for us because we have a need to know the things that he has revealed. Amen. It's good to know these things. So God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. Good men differ on some interpretations of the book of Revelation. It's left up to a lot of types, typology, and a lot of symbols, and all the different things. It's future. But I believe it's been preserved just as God wants it to be preserved. And I think as we spend the time studying it and praying and seeking God's insight and understanding and gleaning from others that God has revealed things to, we can have a good understanding, but there is going to be some things that good men have a difference in interpretation. Now, I'm not talking about the doctrines and all the major issues, but some of the things, we've already seen a few things I've mentioned to you. We'll do that again tonight concerning the mighty angel. Some believe it to be Jesus Christ. Others do not because of how it's presented. The truth of it is, it really doesn't matter. And we're going to see that in just a minute. But anyway, a good men differ on some of the interpretations. Don't bring something to me afterwards and say, well, I heard it this way or I heard it that way. Good. You know, I'm just presenting to you the Word of God as it is and preaching the practical study of the book of Revelation. I'm a very practical preacher. I like to break it down and bring it to you in a practical way that you can learn and make an application. I believe that's how God would have us to use the Word of God. Break it down, make it applicable to our present day lives. And so we have those things. Now, again, in chapters 6 through 19, it's dealing with the 7-year tribulation period. Most all Bible scholars would agree on that part of it. The seven seal judgments, no doubt, reveals that it leads into the seven trumpet judgments. Between the sixth and the seventh trumpet judgment, we studied the sixth judgment in chapter 9 last week. We're still in the sixth trumpet judgment. But before the seventh trumpet judgment, we have what they call a parenthetical. Things pertaining to this judgment. And so chapters 10 down to chapter 11 through 14 have to do with this parenthetical, or things that are going to take place during this judgment before the seventh trumpet judgment sounds. And so that's where we're at tonight. So if you stand with me, we're going to read chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. That's what we're looking to get through tonight, studying these 11 verses here, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was as it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again, we thank you, Lord, for the precious word that you preserve, written down and preserved for us. Thank you that we can have it today and study it and how that you speak to us through it. I pray tonight as we have assembled here, I pray that you might just continue to bless in the remainder of the service, that you would give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us to understand. And God, allow us not only to hear, but to realize what part of this we need to apply. Bless now in our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This parenthetical in chapter 10 reveals three things. The three things that we're going to be looking at, briefly looking at tonight, is this mighty angel. The second thing would be the seven thunders. And the third thing is John consuming the little book. I believe in chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, those are the three things that really stand out. And I believe that there's insight for us to learn from these three things. The first thing, as I mentioned earlier, is the mighty angel, verse 1. And the description of the mighty angel is, come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head, his face as it were the sun. and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, some say, then, as you continue to read, you study this, and you say, well, that's how the Bible describes Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And many, there are many similarities, and that's why there's some that believe this to be Jesus Christ. Others say, well, he talks about looking up to heaven to the one that created all things, and the book of John chapter 1 reveals that Jesus is the creator of all things. And so some say that he can't be looking up to heaven, although he could be referring to God the Father. But again, the idea here is some will, as I said, there's some who differ in interpretations. And good men, some believe this to be Jesus Christ. Others believe it's just another mighty angel from heaven. And I think either one works. What's important is what he represents. And there's no doubt that this angel represents God. Whether it's actually Jesus, the Son of God, or whether it's another mighty angel, I don't think that really is the issue here. That's not the main thing here. And so I believe in this particular instance, you can believe it to be Jesus or not. And it's all right. We'll find out one day. I think it'll all be made clear to us. But he represents God. In verse 2 it says, and he had in his hand a little book, and we're going to see that a little bit more about that later, open. But he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. One foot on the sea and one foot on the land, claiming power and authority over both. That represents God. God has power and authority over everything that he created, and he created the earth. And so this angel, representing God, John now sees him in a vision, and God is revealing future things to John. And John is describing them with the understanding that he has in this Bible day. And so he is using some of the terminology, he's using some of the descriptions that he is aware of, and God is allowing him to do that. God is actually revealing to him to use those things, and that's how God has worked through man and the knowledge and the insight that man had. But we find here that John is revealing those things, but when he sees this vision of this mighty angel, you can just imagine this angel, and the angel that John sees, he sees him on the earth with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, claiming authority, claiming power. The God that we serve has all power. The God that we serve has all authority. There's nothing happens on this planet that God is not aware of. There's not even a bird that falls out of the tree that God's not aware of. There's not a hair on your head that God has not numbered, amen? That's the power and authority of God. So John sees this angel who is claiming power and authority. He can control both the land, and he can control the seas. He can control the atmosphere that he created. Represents God. As this angel comes, he represents God, and he has an open book. But later on, we're going to see that he tells John to eat, and there's great power, great truth there. But he has an open book. Now, he has this open book, and it's open because many believe, as I believe, this to be the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation that is prophesying all the judgments of God, and it's being fulfilled. Everything that God prophesied would take place in his judgment on earth is now, it's open. And it's being fulfilled. And he is saying that it's being fulfilled, and he has the power to control it all. He has this open book. The record of the fulfilling of all prophecy. That's what God's given to us. God wants us to understand prophecy. He wants us to understand that he controls not only the past, the present, but he controls the future. And it's in his control. Revelation chapter 22, the very last of the book of Revelation, the last chapter, verses 18 and 19. He calls the Bible a book. He calls the book of Revelation a book. And he says in this, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, he says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Don't add anything to it. Don't say that God's going to do something that God has not said He's going to do. "And if any man shall take away from the words of this book," don't blot anything out of the Bible. Today, that's what's taking place. They're picking and choosing what they want to believe and what they want to accept and what they want to reject. And so they just block it out, blot it out, as if God really didn't say it. But God did say it. And so He says in it, "And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So what God has written down and preserved for us concerning prophecy is very important. God wants us to understand. God wants us to know these things. And I've said when we got into this part of the prophecy, the judgment, the rapture, because God wants you to understand it is going to take place. The rapture could take place tonight. That means the tribulation could start tomorrow. And if we really understand it, and we understand what's going to take place during that 7-year tribulation period, the tribulation could be over in 7 years. That means that all of your loved ones, if they're not saved, as Krista gave a testimony, that ought to bring tears to your eyes. You ought to be burdened for your family and loved ones and friends and co-workers and classmates. Because if they're not saved, they're going to be on this planet. When all these judgments are taking place, they'll experience all this. If they've rejected the Holy Spirit of God's conviction, they'll not have that opportunity to be saved during that time. There will be people saved during that time. The Bible is very clear in that. But if they have received, or they have come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and have rejected that according to 1 Thessalonians, they'll believe the lie that everyone else is believing is what's taking place on earth. That could be your loved one. That could be your family. That could be your friends, co-workers. So I believe that God wants us to understand it is real. And so we had better understand that I don't want to be there during that time. And the only sure way to make sure that you're not there, trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Be saved and be raptured up with His church. But once you know that you're saved, you ought to have burden for the lost. We just went through our missions month in the month of June, and we just had our budgets Wednesday night. And we was able to add 3 more missionary families and 1 missionary project that brings our support of missionaries and missionary projects up to 66. Praise the Lord for that. We have missionaries all around the world. The sun never goes down on the ministry and the missions outreach of this church. Amen. That's a blessing to know that we're a part of that. And that's the great commission that God's given to us. And we'll be more fired up about obeying the great commission and about witnessing for the Lord and letting our light so shine if we understand this to be true. And it is true. It is true. He has this book. This is believed to be the book of Revelations, record of the fulfilling of all prophecy. Look in Revelation chapter 10, right there, verses 5 to 7. It seems to support this as well. In verse 5 it says, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein." He created them. He's got control over them. "That there should be time no longer." It's coming to an end. The beginning of the end of the world begins with the rapture. After the rapture, we know 7 years, judgment. how that's broken down everything. 7 years of judgment, tribulation. After that, 1,000-year millennial reign. From the 1,000-year millennial reign, the great white throne judgment. Time's no more. God created time for humanity. God knows no time. He is not, He is not bound by time. He knows no time. And so now the angel is saying, it's coming to the end, where there's going to be time no longer. And the seventh, he goes on to say, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the seventh trumpet judgment is leading to the very end. The mystery of God should be finished as He hath declared it to His servants and prophets. All the prophecies of the judgments of God. Fulfilled, finished, time no more. So, with that said, I think we understand that that is that little book opened up. It is the fulfillment of the prophecies. It's what God said will take place in the last day, and then there will be no more time, so it's there. And we're going to be studying that as we continue on. But that would be the book that the angel has. The next thing that I want to look at is once John sees this mighty angel and he sees this book, in verse 3 and 4, the second thing that is presented to us is the seven thunders. Now just what is that? Verse 3 it says, "Then cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." Seven thunders. "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write." Whatever it was that they revealed, and whatever it was that John heard coming from maybe the clouds, coming from the thunders, whatever it was seven distinct thoughts, seven distinct things that he heard, and he was about ready to write them down. "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." It's a voice of God coming through the clouds or the thunder. John heard the seven thoughts. He's going to write them down, and God stopped him. He stopped him, and again, it's written down for us to understand. God did not want us to understand it all. He did not want us to know all the things that would take place. But there are some things that we cannot or should not know now. You see, there's some things that we're going to have to deal with that we're not going to understand why it has to happen this way. Always has been that way. And we have to, by faith, just realize, I don't know why it has to happen to be this way, but I have faith in God having control. I have faith in knowing that God has a purpose. I have faith in God knowing that He has a plan. And I'll just wait until it is time to be revealed. Isn't that good? God did that for us in the book of Revelation. He's revealing all the things that are going to take place. And then He has the thunders and God speaks some things. And He says, but wait a minute. I don't want them to know that right now. I preached a message, it might have been a year or two ago, concerning God's secrets. God has secrets. God has a purpose for all things, but some things are not for us to know. And if they're not for us to know, it's for God to know. You ever said that? It's for me to know and you to find out? God has secrets. There are certain things that God just wants you to trust Him with. By faith, know who God is. He's in control of all things. Man, He's standing on the earth and He's standing on the sea. He's saying, I have power, I have authority over everything that you know. There's nothing that I am not aware of. So trust me when I tell you, it's not for you to know. One day you'll find out. One day it'll all be made clear. I love that thought that I seen a long time ago. I read about a puzzle. whether it's a 5,000-piece puzzle or not, you get one little piece, especially the larger the puzzle, one piece and you think, that makes no sense at all. I can't make anything out of that. But then when you take that one piece and plug it into the picture, it completes the picture. And you say, I know exactly why. I know exactly what that represents now. I know exactly why it had to be that way, that color, that size. Certain things that are not for us. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Let me read this verse to you. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29. Write it down. Chapter 29, verse 29 says this. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Stop focusing on what you can't know and can't understand, and continue to focus on what you can know and can understand, and just do it. Amen. That's exactly what he says there. The secret things belong unto the Lord. It's not for you to know. But those things which are revealed, God wants you to know them. They belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Stop being all concerned about what you don't see, what you can't hear, what you can't know. Just focus on what God has revealed. And make the application. Seven thunders. Seven thunders. God has secrets. And then the last thing is found in John chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. John was told to eat the book. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open. It's been fulfilled right in front of your eyes. In the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues, kings. Everyone on planet Earth needs to know what's in that little book. Everyone on planet Earth needs to be aware of God's judgments, where this earth is headed. It would be both sweet as honey and bitter. The whole message is to be proclaimed. Not just the sweet part. Not just heaven. When I was young, I heard an older preacher tell me. He said, when I was young, I used to love to preach on hell. Now that I'm old, I would prefer to preach on heaven. When I was young, I didn't understand that. Now that I'm older, I'm not old, but I am older. Can I tell you, I'd much rather preach on heaven. People need to hear about hell. People need to know what God's done for us and the reality of a place of hell. John was to consume it and then give it out. That's what he's telling me. I want you to consume it. It's going to be sweet, but then it's going to be bitter. But there's a world that needs to hear it all. Which, in closing, go to Ezekiel with me. That's exactly what God had, even in the Old Testament. Exactly in prophecy, as God called Ezekiel to preach to His nation Israel. Many similarities here. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 7. Ezekiel is called the Son of Man. In verse 7 he says, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, Son of Man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Now take it in before you can give it out. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So open my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. It's God's words that we have consumed that the world needs to hear. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They've had it and they've rejected it. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Especially nowadays, people are not open, and they don't want to hear it. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity and to the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. That's what the world needs today. Thus saith the Lord. It's not my message. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from the Baptist. It didn't come from the Lighthouse. It came from God. I'm just a servant. I'm just a vessel that He's working through to preach it. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from His place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing, some like the great thunder. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib that dwell at the river of Shabar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. It came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. The very same thing that God did through Ezekiel, God is doing now through John. And He has it recorded for us to understand. Because we need to do the same thing. We need to consume the word of God. If you know the Bible, can I tell you, you'll have what people need? People need the Lord. The way they understand how to receive the help, the blessings of the Lord, is the Bible, God's Word. People need to get saved. What they have to do to get saved, exactly what God says a person has to do to be saved, from the Bible. If you know the Bible, you have what this lost and dying world needs. You have what your spouse needs. You have what your children need. You'll have what your grandchildren need. You'll have what your co-workers need. You'll have what your neighbors need. You'll have what your acquaintance need. You'll have what every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability have need of if we have consumed the Word of God, because the whole world needs to know. See, God does not delight in the death of the wicked. The world's going to be destroyed. There's going to be a lot of death. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. He would have them to repent and be saved. That's what Ezekiel, and we'll close with this, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, this is what the Bible says. Saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, saying to them, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have a love for humanity. God does not get pleasure in judging. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That very same message needs to be preached today. Why will you die? Why would you want to live without God? Why would you want to live without the presence of God? Why would you want to live without the peace that God can give, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. All you have to do is eat this roll and apply its truths. And do what the Lord says to do. What a great, great truth in the book of Revelation. What a great truth, this parenthetical, connected to the sixth trumpet judgment. We see more of God's heart. Not desiring, but a righteous God has to judge righteously. Let's consume the book and let's give it out as God would have us to. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Sixth seal, judgment. Over half the world's population will be destroyed, be killed by this time with all the judgments that we've already studied and read about. God's not delighting in that. His desire would still be that they repent, trust Him as their Savior. Today, right now, before this, before the rapture, before the judgment, we can help people to come to that understanding. God wants you to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure, if your eyes were to close in death tonight, where you'd spend your eternity, can I tell you, God wants you to know for sure. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. If God's speaking to you, if He's revealing to you, you have a need to receive Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Take advantage of it. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the understanding of the book of Revelation. I pray that You just continue to give us the insight that we have need of to make it known, so we can make the applications. Now, speak to each one here tonight concerning maybe decisions that they need to make to draw closer to You. I pray, God, that we'd be willing to do whatever it is that You would lead us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.